I'll say a little Dvar Torah because again, no fancy drashas to go to, and this time it's really going to be a little Dvar Torah because I really don't have that much to say. But in Achrimus Kedoshim, there's so much. There's so many mitzvos and ideas, and of course, we have to l'recha kamocha. So there is a famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Gemara tells us Shuv Maisa B'Nachri Echad, that there's a story of a particular Nachri Shabalif Neishamai, and he came to Shamai Amar Lo Giyarni Al Menashe Talam Deni Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? Be megayer me al menas that you can teach me the entire Torah when I'm omed al regalachas, when I'm standing on one foot. The chafo ba'amas habinyan shabiyado, he pushed him away with the amas habinyan that he happened to be holding in his hand. Balef nehilal, so he was pushed away by Shammai, so he tried a different base and he went to Hillel. So gayre, and Hillel was megayer him, and Amalal, he just gave him two bits of advice. The alachsni lechavachal asabit. Whatever you don't like, don't do to somebody else. And zui kolatarukula, that is kolatarukula. But v'idach pirushi yizil gemar. And everything else is only commentary, so everything else you should go and learn. Right? A very, very famous gemara. Normally I'm hesitant to use those words, famous gemara, because there's always someone that never heard of it before and they feel bad. I'm pretty comfortable in this one, right? This is a famous gemara, l'chal hadeos. Rav Avram Shur Shlita, explains an insight into this Gemara, probably not the Pashat Pshat, but in terms of the message, I think it is critical. And he points out that the guy was asking, he wanted to be Megayer, for, you know, in a way that's easy, Al Regalachas. Al Regalachas means that I want to do things and I want life to be smooth, I want life to be easy. Now, particularly for a Ger, life is likely not going to be easy. Meaning you have to socially adapt to an entirely different community. Finding a shidduch is not easy. The level of anas dvarim you probably have to put up with on a consistent basis is not easy. You know, the kinds of questions that people are going to pose are not going to be easy. It's not easy to be a ger. I mean, when we deal with potential converts in our Beis Din, the level of mesiras nefesh that the large majority of them are putting themselves through in order to join Knesset Yisrael is really overwhelming. It's so impressive and so inspiring. It's not easy though. There's nothing that's easy about it. And the Ger was saying, I want life to be uncomplicated. I want life to go simply, without having to deal with adversity, without having to deal with difficulty. And Shammai, of course, threw him out, because that's not what life is. My friend Rabbi Yechiel Weberman always likes to say, or he once told me, and then I think he told me a few times since then, the mashal, you know, that life always has ups and downs. He says, it's like, life is like an EKG machine. You know, if you look at the thing, if it's going up and down, and up and down, and up and down, then you know that there's life. And when it's just straight, and it's just like, oh, smooth sailing, that means the person is dead. That's not life. Life, by definition, has its ups and downs, it has its challenges, it has its better moments and it has its more challenging moments. If the line is straight and flat, then there's no life. You listen to music, I'm not very musical myself, but if you listen to music, if the notes drop and they rise, you can have beautiful music. If it's just, you know, like a monotone, then that's not music. It's not even a good speaker, right? When someone speaks and he's just monotonous, that's what they call boring. What's boring about it? Is the material boring? No, it's that it doesn't excite the ear when you hear someone who's, now I'm like very self-conscious, make sure I'm raising a little bit of my voice, but it doesn't excite the ear when you hear it. I give the example of like Rabbi Moshe Benovitz. A lot of you guys went to CSY Kol at some point or another. Like, he could be reading the phone book and I want to listen because it just sounds so compelling every time he speaks. So when there are ups and downs, when there are peaks and valleys, that's life, that's excitement, that's energy. When there are none, when it's just straight, I want everything to be smooth sailing, what you're asking for is not realistic, what you're asking for is not real life. So comes along Hillel, or this Ger comes, this potential Ger comes to Hillel, and instead of Hillel throwing him out and saying that what you're asking for is ridiculous, Hillel has a different nahalik. And Hillel says, you know what, life is going to be challenging, there are going to be troubling times, but maybe instead of just throwing you out, I'll tell you how to deal with those challenging times. Meaning, why do you want it easy? Because you feel like you don't have what it takes to get through those difficulties. You feel like you don't have what it takes to make it through, to survive those difficulties. So Hillel gives him advice about how to deal with it. And he tells him the first thing is, love somebody else. Love your fellow men. V'ahavtal re'echa kamocha. Create a community of people. Create a chevra. Create a sense of belonging together with other people. Because when you are on your own, you're right. That which poses a challenge seems to be an overwhelming challenge, and it seems like something you're not able to handle. But the human capacity to be uplifted by other people is really remarkable. I don't know how many of you follow all the politics of the five towns, but there are a number of rabbanim, let's say right now, that are under significant attack in that community. In our community, and it's a lot. It's a lot to handle. But in one of our meetings recently, one of the rabbanim said to me, "It's just nice to know that, like, within this room, you know, that we have each other. You know, that we at least understand each other, and that we understand, and we could be mechazik each other, or that every once in a while someone will reach out and someone will say, you know, we'll get a note, whatever, with words of chizik to say that you're doing the right thing and you have our support, b'chule, b'chule." And having other people, now what, did I not know that I'm doing the right thing before the person told me? I knew what I'm doing. It's everything we do is with Hadrach of B'tolei Torah, obviously. So I know what I'm doing. I know that we're doing that. But at knowing that there are other people that feel your pain, that there are other people that struggle with your struggles, that there are other people that are there to be mechazik you when you're struggling, so that makes all those valleys along the way more manageable, and it makes the peaks more enjoyable. It makes the excitement and the good times more enjoyable. The first thing that happens, if something exciting happens in your life, first thing human nature is, you want to share it with somebody else. You want to be able to tell it to somebody. And if there's nobody around to tell it to, it's like, you know, you're just bursting. You need to share it with somebody. It makes you happy to be able to share the good news with somebody, to be able to celebrate together with other people. So the Nachri came to Hillel, and Hillel rejected the premise. Of course, life is challenging. Life is not always going to be easy. But here's how you deal with adversity. Make sure that you create a meaningful relationship with other people. And you'll find very often that when you give to other people, when you give of yourself to other people, it may seem like you're giving in the moment, but in the long run, it's always going to be better for you. You're always going to be on the receiving end, whether that's your kavana or not. I mentioned in the past in his wonderful book, Give and Take, Adam Grant, the Wharton psychologist, Adam Grant shared a study of, I think it was from the Netherlands, medical students that were going through like a 6-year medical program. So I've mentioned this a lot, and I always thought it was such a good muster that they had them each, all the incoming students, take a basic test of whether they were givers or what their personality type was, whether they're the type of people that are always giving to others, always sharing with others, always trying to do for others, or a second personality type that was always taking. I was looking at every conversation, every relationship. What can I get out of this? You ever have a conversation with someone that you feel like that's what they're doing? That, okay, is there something I can benefit from this conversation? What can I get out of knowing you? And as soon as you're useless to me, I'll move on to the next person. Right? There are takers. And then there are people that are more, I don't know what he calls it, but I would call it scorekeepers. Like, you know, you can come to my house, but I'm not going to invite you twice before you've invited me, you know, at least once. Meaning, like, everything's got to be even. Fair is fair, right? That are not motivated by a sense of giving. And what they found was they were hoping to find that the givers were more successful in life. And they found that after the first year or two of medical school, the givers were largely on the bottom of the class. And they were like, oh, this is bad news. like nice guys, mamish finished last. And then they continued following the data as they got through the rest of medical school. And by the fifth year and sixth year, the givers had risen to the top. Now, how did that happen? Why did the givers rise to the top by the fifth and sixth year of medical school? Because they spent the first 2 years when they were adjusting, and they should have been studying all the time for themselves, instead sharing their notes, helping out other people. And they suffered for it. Their brains suffered for it. But what they built up was capital with other people. And when others were able to help them, and when others were able to pay it back to them later on, then others lifted them up, and they helped them out, and they were able to rise to the top by the end. And that's what Hillel's telling the Ger, according to Rav Shor's reading of it. You want to be able to get through whenever you're going to have a challenge? Just give up yourself to other people. Don't be afraid to open up to other people and to connect with other people. And then another bit of Eitzah, I don't think I'm sure I said this one, that you also should throw yourself into learning. That when a person is learning, sometimes it has one has the ability to block everything else out. That if you're able to really just throw yourself into a limud, then all of the challenges that you have in life sometimes can go away. You know, we often talk about the difference between the way a man's brain is wired and the way women's brains are wired, you know, the Mars-Venus thing. So one of the things that they say, and obviously you can't just cut it like right down the middle and say all women are like this and all men are like this, but one of the things that they say is that men tend to think of things one thing at a time. We're not good multitaskers, but when we're on task, we're on that task and nothing else. There's nothing else that enters our mind. And we have that ability to tap into, we're losing it with cell phones, but that ability to tap into a sense of concentration and a sense of focus, where we can be in that. And when you can be in learning, when you can be in Dvar Hashem, when a person can be immersed in the Kedusha of the Torah, then everything else just sort of goes away. They say that in our yeshiva, that Rav Soloveitchik, when he was older and he was ill and he wasn't feeling well, he'd get up to say shir, and all of a sudden he became young again. When he started saying shir, all of a sudden all of his illness and all of his pain and all of his difficulty, it all went away while he was saying shir. Dr. Palkovitz told me that when his father, Rabbi Palkovitz, Zichrono Levracha, was, I don't know, 93, 94 years old. So he could barely walk. Physically, he was really broken down a lot. He wasn't able to, he could barely move. And in the White Shul, where Rabbi Feiner is currently the Rav, obviously, but Rabbi Pelkowitz is Rabbi Emeritus, they'd have him speak once in a while. They would ask him to speak once in a while. And you put him in front of that podium, you know, you put him in front of that shtetl, you put him on that amud, and all of a sudden, he's a 50-year-old guy again. Like, it was unbelievable. When a person immerses themselves in the Torah HaKadosha, it has the capacity to lift them up and to help them get through whatever else is going through. You can have those moments of sanity, those moments of clarity, those moments where whatever was bothering him doesn't bother him. And it's a chizik for us to always know that, of course, in life, and especially, you know, in Rabbanus. I was talking to someone yesterday, and he was saying he feels bad for some of the younger Rabbanim who are still innocent, so they've never, you know, they think life, you know, whatever. So he said, maybe we should just advise, you're in the Smicha program, go tell all the guys not to go into Rabbanus. Like, no, that's not the message. That's not the message. The message, we go into it, and we understand that there are going to be great times and easy times and wonderful times, and there are going to be times that are very difficult and very challenging, and we're dealing with weighty issues and are very problematic. And nevertheless, we have the ability, we have the kelim to deal with these things when we follow Hillel's advice by creating that sense of social connection with other Jews, and also by always maintaining that ability to throw ourselves into a limud, to throw ourselves into learning. Zil gemar, go and learn, and you'll see that a certain sense of menuchas ha-nefesh is still possible regardless of what's going on. Okay, that